carefully to everything I say tonight. It's on my heart. I just told you a minute ago about a 17-year-old boy who believed he was a vampire, and he committed these murders. To us, that sounds stupid. We laugh at stuff like that. It's a joke to us, but it's not to a lot, thousands, yea, millions of people. And tonight, I want to look at a little bit of Scripture, and I'm going to tell you a few things, and then we are going to look at one of the strangest stories in the whole Bible. You talk about a book. You talk about a book on horror films and horror movies. Your Bible's got it right. The Bible will tell you a horror story, brother, but it'll tell you the truth. There's nothing in the world more horrible than people falling in hell and falling forever and ever and can't get out. I mean, Freddy Krueger or Scissorhands. No, that's just little stupid cartoon stuff compared to falling in hell, flipping over in fire for millions of years and can't get out. Everything Steven Spielberg ever knew, everything Wes Craven ever come up with, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday 13th, all of that stuff ain't a drop in the bucket to what's really happening and is going to happen to those that know, and during the tribulation period. Son, during the tribulation period, stuff's going to come out of the earth. The earth's going to open and stuff's coming out of it. There's stuff down there. And I'm going to show you that tonight. We're going to look at one of the strangest scriptures in the Bible tonight. I don't expect all of us to agree on how to look at this scripture. I'm going to tell you how I believe it is, and I believe it just like it says it. I don't have much trouble with the Bible as long as I just believe what it says. Don't try to figure it out. Believe it first. Before you start trying to figure it out, believe it. If you'll believe it, most of the time, it'll take care of the figuring itself. Now, here's what I believe this tonight. The biggest trick the devil ever played on people is making you think he's not real. The biggest trick the devil plays on people is making you think he's a joke, he's a cartoon character, he's just a little man with a pitchfork and little horns, although there is scripture for that. There is scripture about the horns, there is scripture about the calf foot, like a cow foot. There's scripture about the pitchfork, the three point back in the book of Samuel. There's scripture for all of that stuff. The three-pronged fit up that was thrown to put a sacrifice in fire, pitch them, throw them into hell. That is in the scripture. But that is not the picture of the devil the Bible gives us. Now, I want to talk about witches for a second. And I want you to take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter 22. Look in your Bible to Exodus, the second book in the Bible, chapter 22. We as Bible believers believe the Bible, the King James Bible, is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Amen? We believe that. I believe the Bible is the textbook on witchcraft. It is the official textbook on the occult, on spiritism, on TM, transcendental meditation, on yoga. The Bible is the textbook on it. And so tonight, the word witch appears two times in the Bible. Exodus 22:18 and Deuteronomy 18:10. The word witchcraft appears three times in the Bible. And the word witchcrafts, plural, appears four times in the Bible. A total of nine times witchcraft and witchcrafts. Would someone like to give me the definition of a witch? And I'm not talking about Hillary. I know that's what you're thinking. Can somebody give me the real definition of a witch? We used to say a haint, you know. A witch is usually a woman, usually think, although there are male witches and in witchcraft that has supernatural power to cast a spell on somebody. I think that's the dictionary definition. But then we got to think about that spell, cast a spell on somebody. What in the world does that mean? Cast a spell. What does it mean, cast a spell? I've heard people say, man, I went to church, got enough power of God, and we had a spell. Or or he took a spell, or I took a spell with my head, or I took a spell with my... I guess that's a little period of time which you're under the influence of something, maybe. Is that sound right? A spell. You know, in love songs, they say, "Oh, she's cast her spell on me." And like somebody has some kind of power over you for a certain amount of time. So if a witch says, "We're going to cast a spell on you," I've had them tell me that. I've had them say, "We're going to cast a spell on you." I said, "Go ahead." I laughed at them. Because if you're in the right with God and the Holy Ghost, they can't put no spell on us or nothing that except God allows to come our way. Amen? Best defense against some idiot witch or spell is to be right with God and walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. Old Paul had them following him around. Paul had a woman following him around. And you know what? These days, we'd have thought she's a good Christian. Followed the preacher everywhere he went to these revivals, and said, "These men are the great power of God. These men are the great power of God." But there's something wrong with the way she praised God. And he turned around and said, "Come out of her." And the spirit come out of her. She is demon possessed. That's scary, isn't it? That's a weird thing. Everybody running around saying, "These men are the great power of God," ain't necessarily led by the Holy Ghost. That's scary stuff. The only way you know the right spirit is by the book. Not by how you felt. Not by what you've seen. Not by a vision or a dream your grandma had. You can only go by the book. I preached a sermon here some time ago on you can't trust your feelings. And you can't. You can only trust your feelings when they line up with the Bible. And when they line up with the Bible, you really don't even need them. All you need is your Bible. You can't trust your feelings. Your feelings will trick you. They'll deceive you. Women sometimes are worse for this than men, although some men a lot go by their feelings. Kelly told me something the other day, and she said, "Did you say musicians or artists are more emotional and go by their feelings?" Musician. Somebody that's really a good musician sometimes has more feelings because they feel more. Like you've obviously seen with soul, and he's got a lot of soul when they sing and stuff. And that may be true. Maybe more open to feelings or spirits or something. I don't know that. But let's look at this scripture here tonight. Exodus 22:18. All right? Look at it. "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now, that's what makes people say, the ignorant people on the news say the Bible's like the Quran, where it says, "See there, you're supposed to go around and kill witches when you find them." You got to understand who's talking, who they're talking to. That was Old Testament Jews under the law. They were a group of people out in the wilderness. They were tribes. They were serving God. There was only one group of people in the world that were God's people, and it's all together. And God said, "We're not going to let a witch in there to corrupt my people, so get rid of them." Capital punishment. Why would he not suffer a witch to live? Because they would corrupt the other people and cause all of them to start worshiping other gods. You got to understand that. The New Testament, we are not commanded to kill people in the New Testament. We're not commanded to kill witches in the New Testament. There's where you got to learn how to rightly divide that scripture, and you've got to learn. Listen to me. You've got to learn the difference between Old Testament Jews and New Testament Christians, or you're going to have your Bible all messed up. And so, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." God thought it was so bad in the Old Testament that you said, "They can't even live. They can't even live. They will corrupt you." Deuteronomy 18. On over to the book of Deuteronomy. That's the fifth book in the Bible. And look here at Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Let's hurry. I want to show you all something here tonight that's going to get you to thinking. Deuteronomy 18. This is all the occult. All the occult. I'll preach on this maybe sometime. Look at verse 9. This is why you're talking to Israel. This is why you're talking to Israel. "When you're coming to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." That's why he killed and destroyed those nations. God used Israel as a judgment on them wicked nations and gave them their land. Now, he said these nations are wicked. Verse 10, why are they wicked? "There shall not be anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire We'll get into that sometime, about the god Molech. They sacrificed their children to the god of Molech. The modern day equivalent would be just turning your kids over to the school system and a secular college and the world and rock music and the drug crowd and say, here, you can have my child. And then it said, or useth divination or an observer of times. That's astrology. That's reading your horoscope. That's tea leaves. Anything like trying to tell the future. Getting a deck of cards laying out there trying to predict things. Or not. God said, don't mess with that stuff. An enchanter or a witch or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits, plural. That's a demon spirit or a wizard or a necromancer. What's a necromancer? Necro, dead. Messing around with dead. Somebody that's obsessed with the dead. Necromancy. Necrophilia. All that stuff is messing with something that's dead. Messing with dead bodies. All them crazy demon-possessed people get dead bodies and cut them up and eat them and put them in their freezer and stick them under the house. That's dark stuff. Now, kids, let me say something to you this evening. I know I'm the same as you. When I was growing up, and I still got a little bit of me, there's something about a scary movie or a certain you think, ooh, let's watch that. Oh, we're going to go rent a bunch of them and we're going to watch them Friday night. Of course, we couldn't do that. You didn't know renting movies when I was a teenager. Thank God. I mean, we was corrupt enough. You had to just catch it when it come on TV. I don't even remember what it was. Frankenstein or something. When I was 12 years old. And then it started coming out with more and more scary stuff. More and more scary stuff. But have you ever noticed, especially girls, well, there's something in us that wants to be scared, ain't they? There's something you said, I just like it. You don't want to participate. You don't let it go so far. You'll turn it off after it gets so bad. But you like that rush of being scared. The flesh likes it. I know girls that watches every scary movie that comes out and their mind is so twisted and perverted and that they can't even stay in the room by themselves at night with the lights out because they will not quit feeding that trash into their mind. And most people that are scared of the dark have a history. You say, I can't look. Ah! You want to see it, but you don't want to see it. You want to see it, but you don't want to see it. You want to see it, but you don't want to see it. I tell you what I believe. I don't believe God ever intended for us to watch people getting their heads cut off and seeing guts and blood and stuff like that. You know, people that's been in the army and they've seen all people getting blown up and everything, man, it messes them up the rest of their life. Yeah, that's why we're desensitized to the value of human life is because we see slasher films. So I don't want to see no slasher film. I don't want to see people getting their heads cut off. I don't like to see people take a chainsaw and cut people up. I don't want to see, but there's something in us. You know, hey, when you see a wreck on the highway, why do you do like this? You're looking for blood. That's our nature. We want that's our nature. There's something in us that wants to see it. And I'm telling you, if you feed your flesh on a diet of scary movies, you're messing yourself up. Somebody come in the room, don't do that! Don't do that! Check it out. They've watched a bunch of scary movies. Go ahead, brother. In real life? I mean, are you really doing it? I don't want to see it, and you shouldn't want to see it. I don't want to see nobody get their head cut off. I don't want to see nobody. You ain't supposed to see junk like that. The more you see stuff like that, the more desensitized you become to human life and respect for it. All right? There's a lady on bus route. Some of you know who I'm talking about. On Sandy, George, y'all. I don't know if y'all know this, but every time we visit this lady, it's Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Oh, we love. She told us she's from Baltimore, Maryland. And I remember the first time I ever went to Maryland to preach, that was the first time I ever seen people decorate for Halloween. I mean, orange lights. I never seen no orange. You didn't see orange lights used to. for Halloween. Now it's common everywhere. But I remember people decorating and putting orange and cobwebs and hanging ghosts and hanging people upside down out in the front yard. I said, man, this place is dark. I remember thinking that. Maryland. And they moved here from Baltimore, and she told us, she said, Halloween to us is as big or bigger than Christmas. Ain't that what she said? She said, as big as Christmas. They have elevated Halloween to Christmas. To me, Lord have mercy, man, that's like darkness and light. It's like hell and heaven. Christmas and Halloween are total opposites. Ladies and gentlemen, Halloween is the devil's holiday. It's October 31st. That's a backward 13. And the devil has got it all fixed. Listen, Halloween's of the devil. Hallow Eve. Eve. All Saints, I believe that's what they call it. The Eve before November the 1st. And when I was little, I tried to think today as I was studying, and I thought, all I remember wanting when I was little was the candy. That's all I cared about. I wasn't wanting to scare nobody. I wasn't wanting to get scared. I wanted a bag of candy. And Mom back then would buy us them little old masks, and they was plastic, and had a rubber band go around your head, and we'd wear it. And how many of y'all remember that? You can't see, and you're trying to move around like that, try to see, and run out, fall in a ditch, trying to beat the other trick-or-treaters to somebody's door, and almost get run over by a car, and then you start drooling in them things. Spit starts running down in them, and you know, where you're breathing hard or something. It's awful. It's awful. I remember pulling up my mask like that so I could see where we was going, and falling in the bushes beside somebody's house and everything else. But man, it was fun. It was fun. We never thought about nobody getting killed. We never thought about nobody drinking blood. I mean, it was just a big joke to us. Had no idea what it was like. Then when we got a little bit bigger, Halloween sort of took on a different meaning. I remember in high school, we could get all the candy I wanted then, mostly. So then I wanted to get mean. I remember thinking, when I was 16, we're gonna mess somebody up tonight. And me and these boys, I got my daddy's car, and I hate to tell y'all this, but I got some cantaloupe or something, tomatoes and stuff, and boy, we loaded up, and we went around throwing them. All the cars in Marion, I don't know if they still do, but the car lots would back all their cars way off the road. Remember that? Because they knew some idiots like us would come around, and I remember you couldn't buy eggs. We'd try to go to the store and buy eggs, and they'd say, sorry, we ain't got none. I can tell by looking at you boys. And they wouldn't sell us eggs. I said, I'm hungry. I want some scrambled eggs tonight. And they said, nope, no eggs. And we was going to throw, and this one girl, we up there in Marion, she's a cheerleader at school, and I never could stand her. For some reason, I just couldn't stand her. And me and her mouthed off all the time at each other. She'd say something smart, and I'd say something smart back to her. Well, we got her, buddy. She'd come around the little snack shack, Tasty Freeze place in Marion. Well, we started throwing stuff at her, and she started crying. She started crying, and I thought, oh, God. I sort of felt sorry for her then, because she had her daddy's car, and we egged that thing. It was awful. And I thought, why do I want to just do something mean just because it's Halloween? Wonder what that was. I got news for you. That was not the Spirit of God. We just wanted to tire something up. How many of you admit you felt like that on Halloween? Yeah, you sure did. You sure did. One guy had a pool. I only knew one person had a pool. One person. And we couldn't stand him either. And because they wouldn't let us come and swim. And we went over and knocked his mailbox down. Knocked his mailbox down. Or knocked it off of the thing. Bent it all up. There ain't no sense in that. Somebody should have took us and beat us half to death. But it was just that spirit. That spirit. Listen. One guy claims that he can identify a person by their handwriting. And he can do it. You could have their handwriting. My name is John Doe. And he could look at your handwriting and mess with it and tell you your address and your family history and your health. And they said he did it by meditation, and he got his information from the 6th and 8th book of Moses. and black magic. Now, Moses only wrote 5 books. So the 6th and 8th book of Moses don't exist. I don't know what it was he's getting it out of. Wonder why it wouldn't say 7. They won't even say 7. God's number. 6 and 8. Rock singers have admittedly got around in a circle over their latest recording and asked Satan to bless that recording and make people like it and get rich off of it. It's common. They're still selling their soul to Satan in Hollywood tonight. I showed you that on video. Let me say this. TM, Transcendental Meditation, that's hit our country in the last 30 years, is of the devil. Yoga is of the devil. I know Christians say, well, I'm going to take yoga. Nothing wrong with exercise. Exercise is all right. But when anything you meditate on, and you start doing this like that right there, you know why they do that right there? They say, if you do that, the spirit just runs out of you. But if you do like this, it can't run out. It runs back in you and runs through you and runs back in and runs through you like that. If you sit and cross your legs and do that right there, just some fool junk like that. Listen to me. Any meditation, from Hinduism, Buddhism, the Far East, other countries, any meditation that is not Bible meditation on the Word of God and prayer through the Lord Jesus Christ is not of God. Not of God. Ain't no such thing as meditation that's right unless it's biblical. David said, on thy word will I meditate day and night. That's okay. The other kind ain't. All right. Seances are wrong. Tarot cards are wrong. Ouija boards are wrong. Tea leaves are wrong. I knew a young man, a teenager in West Virginia, and they all said, man, he's got powers. He's got powers. And they said, he can make lights come off and on. He just comes in the room and the light will go out. Now, I've seen that happen a lot of times. A lot of times when I do the rock music thing or something like that, a light will go out right up and then come back on. I've seen that over and over and over. Anytime the presence of the devil, it'll kill electrical powers. That's why them UFO creatures and stuff like that, cars won't start. Lights go dim. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. He's electricity. He's in electricity. Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So, with that in mind, I want us to turn to one of the strangest stories in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 28, and I want to read you a story about a witch. 1 Samuel 28 was one of the strangest stories in the whole Bible. Now, I know what I believe about this. I'm going to see what you fellas believe. The other you men in here tonight, let's see what you believe on this. I've heard it preached, and I've heard people try to explain it different ways. I'm just going to read it first, and then we're going to go back and look at it. All right. Verse 6, 1 Samuel 28, 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophet. Urim, those lights, the priest wore back in the Old Testament. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman, funny isn't it, no man, a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that's a demonic spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said unto him, behold, there is a woman which hath a familiar spirit at Endor. That's the witch of Endor, we call it. Verse 8, and Saul, the king, disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and 2 men with him, and they came to the woman by night. He wouldn't go in the daytime. Well, it's the way it gets dark to do this. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto you. He wants to contact the dead. I just lay in my bed at night, and Mama comes and talks to me. She died a few months ago, but Mama still talks to me. No, she don't. No, she don't. Verse 9. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life, to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. Bring him back from the dead. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. Whatever she seen right then made her realize he was King Saul. Look at verse 13. Wouldn't you know it? And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. I saw gods ascending out of the earth. Now we're going to read some more, but let that sink in. You've seen movies where it's got, when you see little spirits come up, that's what she saw. And it's real. They ain't coming from outer space. They're coming out of the ground. Gods, little g, gods, spirits, fallen angel spirits, or whatever. All right, let's read some more. She saw gods coming out of the earth. That's what happened in the book of Revelation. And he said, What form is he of? She said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Some say that was Saul. Some say it was Samuel that stooped and bowed. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me? There's the condition the dead were in the Old Testament. Peace and rest. To bring me up. And Saul said, I am sore distressed. Man, I'm about to have a heart attack here. The Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more. God won't help me, so I'm asking you, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then thou dost ask of me, seeing the Lord departed from me, and it's become thine enemy? He said, What are you asking me for? God ain't going to help you, I sure can't. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because, look what Samuel said to Saul. A dead man come back, a zombie, whatever them things are, the walking dead. That's what they're imitating when they have the walking dead and the zombie. They're imitating this stuff right here. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. That's the type of your flesh. If you don't keep your flesh under subjection. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. Look at here. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. That old guy told him, You're going to die tomorrow, dude. You're going to die. This is the last day you're going to live. You're dead meat. And the host of Israel into the hands of the Philistine. Deliver those of Israel. And Saul fell straightway all along the earth and was sore afraid. There's a weird verse, 20. Fell straightway along the earth. He just went, fell down, flopped around, and went crazy. All along the earth for the words of Samuel. All right. You talking about opening up a keg, son. That does. There's enough study in that right there. Keep you busy till this time next Wednesday. And that may be what we wind up doing. Let's go back. Let's see the beginning here. In verse 6, here goes Saul, O King Saul. He is wicked, backslid, and the Lord departed from him because he didn't obey him. And we'll get into all that stuff about was Saul saved and was Saul ever saved and Saul being demon-possessed and everything else. But the Lord departed from him, is what the book says. You know, the Lord don't depart from us nowadays. People say, well, it's just the power of the Lord. That ain't what it said, is it? It didn't say the power of the Lord departed from him. It said the Lord departed from him. You say, well, I think it's what it means, what it says. The Lord departed from him. You can believe whatever you want to, but you're a lot safer just to let it say what it says instead of saying what you think it means. Don't say what you think it means. Say, I believe what it says. Amen? That's a definition of a Bible believer. Well, I think it means this. You're a free country, but it don't say that. All right. Look at here. The Lord departed from him. And he went to this witch, and he began to ask her a question and inquire her. And he said, there's a woman here that's got a familiar spirit. So he puts on a disguise. And when he puts on this disguise, he walks in there so she won't know him. He says, I need you to do me a favor, ma'am. I've got money and I'll pay you. I need to talk to somebody that's dead and gone. She said, you know that the king Saul, which was him, has put out the word and he's going to kill us all. We can't be doing this. He said, look, I know King Saul personally. I'll take care of it. I'll make sure nothing happens to you. Da 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 da. I promise you. Here's a bunch of money, paid her or whatever he done. And she says, okay, who do you want to talk to? Now that brings up all kinds of stuff. That brings up seances. That brings up people sitting around in a circle with their hands saying, oh, Uncle John, oh, Uncle John, oh, Uncle John. Candle falling, blows the window loud, and the pictures fall off the wall, and the table turns over. And you know, you've seen, and the light candle gets blowed out, you know, and weird music starts playing, and the noise of woo, and everybody starts shaking. And, you know, that's the way they do it in the movies. But this is real. This is real. And brother, he said, bring me up Samuel. And she done something. And somehow or another, Samuel came up. Now, here's your question. We're not going to get through this tonight because it's almost time to go here in a minute. But here's the question. Did she really bring up Samuel? I've heard people say no. I've heard preachers say, well, she just thought it was Samuel. But let's look at it. I've always believed it was Samuel. And you know why I believe it's Samuel? Because it says it was. It said, look at here. He said in verse 11, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, who said that? The Holy Ghost did. The Holy Ghost, right in the Bible, said, the woman saw Samuel. You say, well, she just thought it was Samuel. And what it said? It said the woman saw Samuel. You can believe whatever you want to, brother, but I believe she saw Samuel. Now, God evidently made some kind of exception there, because you can't go calling back your dead loved ones now. If you try to call your dead loved ones back now, you're going to get something, but it ain't going to be your dead loved ones. It's going to be a spirit impersonating your dead loved ones, and that's going on all over this country tonight. And that's what all them shows on TV, them witchcraft, the Buffy Vampire Slayer, and all them old shows and stuff about, you've seen all them shows about where they all put their hands on the table or the Ouija board and woo, woo, stuff like that starts happening. Son, that ain't the Spirit of God. He ain't in a million miles, junk like that. God is not in a million miles. The Spirit of the Lord is love, joy, peace, and all that. It ain't fear and demonic and scary and dark and eerie and ooh, you know, that ain't the Lord. That ain't the Lord. That's the devil. So, if you want to know what I believe it was Samuel. I believe God made an exception, as he did sometimes in the Old Testament, and allowed Samuel to come up. Now, this brings up all kinds of things. Where was Samuel? He was in the heart of the earth, where Old Testament saints went when they died. He was not up there in heaven with God. He was in the heart of the earth. Why wasn't he up in heaven with God? Because the blood of Jesus hadn't been shed yet. They couldn't get into God's presence without the blood of bulls and goats covered their sin. It didn't take it away. It just covered it. When Jesus died, John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Then they could get in. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he took captivity captive and brought all them people out. Now the question is, the dead know nothing. The question is, that's where Jehovah Witnesses get their doctrine of, well, see there, the dead just go in the grave. The grave don't mean the dead, and the dead don't mean the grave. And hell don't mean grave, and grave don't mean hell. Hell is a pit, but every pit ain't hell. Hell is a pit, but a grave ain't hell. Hell's a pit, but the pit ain't hell. Every pit ain't. Hell is a pit. But just because you dig a pit, don't say, well, I'm going to throw you in hell. That ain't hell. That's just a hole in the ground. Now, it brings up all kind of doctrinal issues. Like, when Samuel came up, she said, there's an old man. He wasn't an old man in Abraham's bosom. If you die when you're 90, and you're all like this, then when we see you in heaven, you're not going to be like this in heaven forever. 90-year-old. What does it say? You get the Bible here. What does it say? Our body will be fashioned like his glorious body. How old was his body? 33 and a half. So our body's going to be like that in the prime of your youth forever. People say, well, I can't wait to see my baby in heaven. You ain't going to be a little baby sitting around in heaven, goo goo got forever and ever and ever. We're all going to be like him. Am I telling y'all the Bible? Yes or no? Okay, some of you just looking at me like, I never thought about that. Well, there's a lot you might not have thought about. You ain't going to stay. Would you like to stay 6 months old forever and ever and ever? No. Or 95? No. Well, the Lord's got that fixed. So, why did God let Samuel come back as an old man? So they'd know it was him. If the Lord made an exception and let you see your mama, she would probably look like she did right before she left. Probably. I don't know that. I don't think he's going to do it. If you see your mama tonight standing beside your bed, you get down and plead the blood of Jesus. Unless it really is your mama. I ain't going to see my mom. If I see my mom, I tell you what, I've had some weird dreams. One, I've dreamed more than once that I heard mom say, Danny, and I woke up just like that. I heard her just as plain as day. And I think that's just a dream. I don't believe mom's talking to me from beyond the grave. I don't believe it. You can believe what you want to, but there's no scriptural evidence to support that. I know his preacher. I don't know him, but I know of him. He said that he went to heaven. He died while he was on operating table or something. And he went to heaven, and he toured the mansions and met Jesus and introduced himself to the apostles. And he come back, and he'll tell you all about it on a set of tapes for $57.95. For $57.95, he's going to tell you all about heaven and meeting Jesus and the apostles. Now, how do you know that ain't right? You say, well, you don't know. Yeah, I do know. Paul said, I knew a man in Christ that was caught up to the third heaven, and he heard things unlawful for us to utter, and God wouldn't let him tell it when he come back. You mean tell me the Lord will tell the Apostle Paul, you can't tell none of this back down, but he's going to let this guy here in America come back and tell it to you for $57.95? I don't think so. So that's where you got to read that Bible. You got to read that thing and stick to what it says. Now, you may say, Mom appeared to me one night and told me everything was all right. You can believe that all you want to, but there's no scriptural basis for that. You can believe what you want to, and I ain't fussing at you. I'm not even saying that. I know people right before, there's thousands of testimonies that right before people die, they say, I saw angels and I saw Jesus. That might be. I can't say that ain't true, because it might be true. You might have known people say, there's mama, there's daddy. Maybe the Lord lets them peek over there. I can't prove it is, can't prove it ain't. I wouldn't argue with you on that. But you be careful about saying, Mama come to me in my bedroom the other night, and she had on that dress that I bought her. And you know, you better be careful about stuff like that, because the devil can impersonate people. All right, we're done past time. I'll give you just a couple seconds, and then we'll try and maybe do some more next week. Anybody? What's that? Yeah. Samuel, come up trick-or-treating. Yeah. I know one thing. Saul died the next day. The next day, him and his sons died. So that means, yeah, listen, you kids want to die? Watch a scary movie Friday night. See if you don't die Saturday. Amen. You'll fool around with a demon, it'll cost you more than you're willing to pay. What do you think gets the Spirit? When you hear any preachers preach, the Spirit of God rubs off on you. You start fooling with that stuff, the devil's spirit will rub off on you. You say, oh, you're scared? Yeah, I'm scared of the real devil, the real thing, the real spirit, evil spirit. Yes, I don't want to mess with that stuff. Anybody else, right quick?